Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Well, good morning. You may be seated. Sorry if I didn't seat you. How are you doing this morning? If you're wondering who this guy talking to you is, my name is Tyler Thompson, and I am the children's pastor here at Word of Life Church. I oversee Kids Life, and that is grades first through fifth. And if you aren't familiar with Kids Life, basically what's happening in here is also happening in Kids Life for the first through fifth graders, and they're having 10 times the fun. I mean, with each praise song, there's choreography. Sometimes there's candy. I mean, they have a great time. So did you guys have a good holiday? Good holiday? Okay. Good Christmas. All right. How many of you guys were here for the Christmas Eve service? All right. Wasn't that awesome? The kids doing the dance number, the song, the candlelight. What was your favorite part? Mine was the snow. I like the snow at the end. Like, you can't have Christmas Eve service at Word of Life without the snow. And maybe for Christmas you had people over. I can remember having family over for Christmas. Did you guys get rest during the holiday? Get some rest? Maybe you got rest after your company left. I won't tell them, I promise. I know for myself, though, as a child, I felt like I always knew when we were going to have guests over. I knew when we were going to have family over. And the reason I knew this is because as a child, when I would wake up to the smell of cleaning products. Y'all feel me? So not just like your average cleaning products. It's like your Pine Sol, your Clorox, your Windex. And it was like, I just knew that, you know, we were going to have guests over, but I also knew that I was going to be busy. So it was like, just don't expect to take your bike out. Don't run down to your friend's house. I'm going to have work to do. Anybody ever been there before? Sorry if I'm bringing up bad memories, but like, I had chores to do. And so when I'd wake up my mom, she'd meet me, she'd know already. And moms, they don't even like have a written list. It's just like in their mind. So you just have to kind of pay attention. So what the list was is, she was like, all right, I need you to take out the trash. I'm like, okay. And I need you to clean your room. I'm like, all right, I got to clean my room. It's like, then I need you to clean the bathroom. I'm like, the bathroom. I got to clean the bathroom. And then I need you to clean your room. And I was like, you want me to clean my room twice? But it's because mom's definition of clean and my definition of clean were two different things. And so she was going to make sure, hey, mom, she's going to make sure that I got it right. And so I'm thinking about that, and I'm doing all these things. It's like, why are we going through all this trouble to make sure the house is clean? Well, moms know that when someone steps into that house, be it guest or family member, they were going to know that the Thompsons had it together. That the Thompson house was in order, that Casa de Thompson was the place to be, and it was gonna be clean with Windex and Clorox and Pine Sol. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm remembering this time, and I'm like, man, it must have been like how Martha felt in Luke chapter 10. I actually wanna invite you to turn to Luke chapter 10 with me this morning. We're gonna look at verse 38 through 42 together. Some of you may be familiar with the story of Mary and Martha. How many of you guys are familiar with that story, Mary and Martha? All right. How many of you just know somebody named Mary, or maybe you know somebody named Martha? I just want you to relate. All right. So we got, you have the story of Mary and Martha, and I just want to read it together. And it's so easy to look at a passage that we may have heard before, that we've read before, and it's like, I know how this goes. But I want to invite you to look at this with fresh eyes. God's word is living and powerful. Every time you look into it, it shows you something else. Something about the goodness of God, what God's trying to show you. There's something every time. It's alive and powerful. And so let's look at this together. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now as they were traveling along, he, being Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, at first reading this story, it's easy to treat this story like a childhood TV show. Anybody have a favorite TV show growing up as a kid? Raise your hands. Okay, all right. There we go. All right, so I know it's the holidays. So my favorite TV show was Ninja Turtles. Anybody familiar with the Ninja Turtles? All right, okay. So as you watch your favorite childhood TV show, you're like, okay, I choose that character. So when you go outside and you play with your friends, you just pretend to be your favorite character, right? So my favorite character was Leonardo. For those of you who don't know, that's the blue one, all right? And I wanted to be Leonardo because he was the leader. And so I would always pretend to be him. And it's funny, though, when you're pretending to be like these characters on the show, it could start an argument between you and your friends. And it's like, I don't want to be the red one. I don't want to be purple. I want to be the blue one. If you're going to make me the purple one, then I'm just not going to play. It's like you got to choose. You stick to your favorite character, right? Maybe Ninja Turtles was not your favorite show. Maybe your favorite show was like Bonanza. Anybody remember Bonanza? Okay, all right. Like, I want to be like Hoss Cartwright, and I want to be Little Joe Cartwright. And then some of you are like, what is Bonanza? Did he make that up? I didn't. It's a real thing, all right? So it's easy to want to do this with the story of Mary and Martha, right? Because it's like you got Martha, you got Mary, and Martha invites Jesus to their house. And so Jesus comes in, the King of Kings, Jesus. He makes the darkness tremble. Jesus, he's sitting in the living room. And then Mary, you know, she sits down. And it's almost like you can see the wind blowing her hair. She's sitting down listening at the feet of Jesus. And then you got Martha over here, and she's busy. She's making preparations. She's got the washer. She's got the dryer going. She's sweeping. She's making sure that, you know, Mama Hamels is going to bring the bread pudding. I need 4 servings of bread pudding for Jesus, because he's going to be here. I got to make sure the oven's right. I got to make sure the house is clean. I got to make sure everything's ready. And then she gets upset. Martha gets upset, comes in and interrupts Jesus. Jesus, do you not see me serving? Jesus, do you not see me doing all these things? And Mary's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And Martha like interrupts Jesus. And so if I'm gonna pick between Martha and Mary, I choose to be Mary, right? It's like, I call being Mary. I'm Mary. I'm gonna sit at the feet of Jesus. Mary's the good guy, clearly. Because Martha, it's like, Martha, are you crazy? Martha, you're just being extra right now, Martha. It's like, I call being Mary. But after looking at that story and really looking at it, it was like, you know what? I might be Martha. In fact, I am Martha. It's not just me. At some point, we're all Martha. And I know some of you may be thinking, like, don't be calling me Martha. I'm Mary. I call being Mary. I'm going home. But just hear me out. I've had the opportunity to study, like, what it takes to make a great story. Like, how do you put it together? Because I want to grow as a communicator. Hopefully I'm doing all right. So I wanna grow as a communicator, and I'm looking at, you know, how to build it out, how to structure it. And so one of the things that I found is, to make a great story, you got to have a great character. In order to make that character great, it's what is that character driven by? What do they ultimately want when the story ends? It's what makes every movie great, every book great. And so the reason that you have to really be careful about what that character desires is that your audience will see your character, and they'll see what your character desires. And there's a part of them that desires the same thing. And once your audience sees that, they're like, they connect with that character. Then you have them engaged in your story. It's like that with some of our favorite movies. How many of you are familiar with the movie Toy Story? All right, so okay, so in Toy Story, you have the character Woody. And, like, I just found this out that, like, the movie Toy Story, Woody's the toy that the story is about. So Woody, What he wants most is he wants to be Andy's number one toy. And so people see that and like, I can kind of get that. I've wanted to be number one before. I've wanted to be the most important before. We just got done with Christmas holidays. How many of you guys are familiar with the movie Home Alone? You know? I can't do it with both hands because I got to have the mic. You know, it's like, Kevin, what did you do to my room? And it's like, what is Kevin McAllister? What does he want more than anything, right? He wants to be able to call the shots. He wants to be able to have his own pizza. He wants to be able to go to bed when he wants to. He wants to be able to have things his way. But then as we get through the movie, hopefully all of us have seen Home Alone. I'm sorry if I ruined it. But at the end of the movie, he wants to be with his family. He sees that family is the most important thing. They're actually making a remake of this movie. How many of you guys are familiar with The Lion King? All right, come on now. So the lead, the main character is Simba. You got to say it like, Simba. So he wants more than anything. He just can't wait to be what? Come on now. Some of you guys, you got the song in your head. Hakuna Matata. All right. So he just wants to be king. And we could go on and on, but it's like looking at the story of Mary and Martha. It's like, this is why I say that I'm Martha. So I say that we all may be Martha. It's because what does Martha want? What's the thing that she wants most? What's driving her to make the decisions that she's making? It's not for Jesus to say, Martha, your floors are just so clean. What are you using? Martha, this peach cobbler was amazing. Did you make the ice cream yourself? Martha doesn't want that. Martha wants one thing. Martha wants acceptance. Martha wants to know, hey, Jesus, do you see me? Are you pleased with me? That's all she wants. And I would say the same for myself. It's like, forget everything else. More than anything, we want acceptance. Not from friends. Although that's great, we need acceptance. We crave acceptance from a Savior. One of my favorite authors, his name is John Eldridge. He wrote a few books, Wild at Heart. You may be familiar with that. And I actually have some other quotes that he wrote. He did a book called Wild at Heart. It's about discovering the soul of a man. Sounds deep, right? And then he did another book called Captivated. And it's like discovering the soul of a woman. And I want to share just three quotes with you this morning. And so from Wild at Heart, it says, deep in his heart, every man longs for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. In his book, Captivated, he writes, we think you'll find that every woman in her heart of hearts longs for three things: to be romanced, to play an irreplaceable role in a great adventure, and to unveil beauty. That's what makes a woman come alive. And then finally, my favorite quote, we're made in the image of God. We carry within us the desire for our true life of intimacy and adventure. To say we want less than that is to lie. And that's from his book, Living the Life We've Always Dreamed Of. But as you can kind of see, the underlying common thing in those quotes is that we all want acceptance. That's what drives us. That's what we desire. We all need acceptance. And in this story, you have Martha who, that's what she's after. She's after acceptance. Jesus, do you see me? And because of that, what does it cause her to do? In verse 41, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. Martha is caught up in the doing. She's going throughout the house. She's sweeping. She's got the washer and the dryer running. She's called Mama Hamels back twice because they're not moving fast enough. She's trying to get all these things ready for Jesus. She's caught up in this thought. She's grasped by this thought. You know what? I have to do all these things because if I can do enough, then I'll be enough. If I can do enough, then he'll see me. Then he'll be pleased with me. But it's only until I do enough. I can remember there was a time where it's like listening to a message or being in conversation with someone and you hear them say, maybe you've heard this too, they say something like, you know, I was talking to God. How many of you guys have ever heard that? I heard God say, or God told me, or I was having this conversation with God. And I can remember sitting back and just listening to that, and I'm like, that's great. You know, that's awesome. Or God spoke to me, or God woke me up this morning, and it's like, okay, all right, that's great too. And like, God just blessed me with, or God just got me this. And it was like, you know what? That's awesome. That's great. I'm so happy for you. I genuinely am happy for you. But you know what? I want that too. I want to hear God speak to me. I want to know what God's doing. I want God to know that God sees me. And so, much like Martha, I found myself doing. It was like, okay, well, if I can do enough, then I'll be enough. Like, it's like, so how many services can I come to? How many podcasts can I listen to? Do you see how many Bible reading plans I did? I know you see those. I checked them all off. It's like, God, am I not lifting my hands the right way? Should it be like this? Should I wash the windows with it, God? I mean, I got them all the way out. God, do you see me? And it's so easy for us to take something as simple as reading our Bible. Or a good practice as a Christian, someone who follows Jesus, and we turn it into a task. We turn it into a ritual that will hopefully help us do enough so we can be enough. And that's the way the world thinks. It's like, hey, you know what? You got to produce, and then you get this. You have to pay, and then you get this. You have to earn it first. You have to work to get it. Then you get it. Not only until you work, you put in the work, then you have to work for this. And so we find ourselves doing and doing because we believe that, hey, if we can do enough, then we can be enough. Then Jesus will see us, and then he'll talk to us. Then only then, because you know it's like levels, you know, because like to be at that level where Jesus will talk to you, you gotta go through some other levels. You know, they're on like level 10, you're on like level 2, so you gotta like, you know, work. You gotta lift your hands a little bit higher, you gotta scoot up and when you come to church, you gotta pray a little bit longer. And we can get caught up in that thought when that's not the case at all. You know, We just got finished celebrating Christmas, but I can remember celebrating my first Christmas with my wife. It was the first Christmas with my wife, so I wanted to make sure I won it, okay? I'm just going to be honest. I like to win. So I'm trying to find out, you know, what does she want for Christmas? And she's like, I would really like some lace-up boots. I'm like, all right, got it. Lace-up boots for my lady. All right, so I go to the mall, I'm looking around, and I find some lace-up boots. So I get the boots, I ask somebody to help me wrap them because I'm not good at wrapping gifts, and I put it under the tree, right? I'm done. So I start hearing about this brand that's like popular during that time. Everybody's talking about Michael Kors. Michael Kors this, Michael Kors that. You guys familiar with Michael Kors? Okay, you are? All right. So, like, everybody's talking about Michael Kors. So I'm like, you know what? Forget just getting these lace-up boots. I'm going to win Christmas. I'm going to get her something Michael Kors. Because everybody's talking about it. So I find myself back at the mall. It's like 2 more days left till Christmas. Find myself back at the mall, and I'm trying to look around. You know, I'm like, Michael Kors. And I see this huge display. I'm like, oh, Michael Kors. And they got belts, bags, purses. I'm like, man, Michael Kors. So then I look over, and I see some boots. And I'm like, Michael Kors. I go over, and I'm looking at these boots. And I look at the price. I'm like, Michael Kors. So I'm like, you know what? I got to win Christmas, so I got to do it. So I get the boots, I wrap them, and I'm excited about Christmas, y'all. I can just practically picture, you know, my wife just being so happy, jumping up and down, being like, oh, babe, Now, every husband has a voice that they do for their wife, so I have permission, all right? She's like, oh, babe, and she's gonna jump up and down and hug me. I love it. It's so great. It's so, thank you so much. And I'm like, and that's what I'm picturing, right? So I got the gift, the Michael Kors boots, and I got them under the tree. And so it's time to give her this gift. So I give her the gift, and I'm just sitting back. And, like, I have to control my face because I'm, like, smiling. And I got this goofy smile on my face. You know that smile people have? You're like, what's wrong with you? And you're like, oh, nothing. I'm just thinking. I'm just happy. And so I'm smiling, and she starts opening the gift, and she's tearing back the wrapping paper. I'm like, Michael Kors, Michael Kors. And she opens the box, and I'm like, maybe she's in shock. Michael Kors, right? Maybe she's in shock. And I'm like, here it comes, you know. Oh, babe. I didn't get that. Instead of, ah, oh, babe, it was like, ah. At that moment, I feel like, you know, I knew that God had given me the knowledge to know that as a husband that I had messed up. That I did not win Christmas. And I was like, babe, what's wrong? Do you not like him? And she truthfully said, no, I'm just not a fan of Michael Kors. I was like, Michael Kors? I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, I don't know what to do at this point, because if she didn't like those boots, she's not going to. I still had the boots, the lace-up boots. Remember the lace-up boots? Still had those. And I was like, man, it can't get any worse. It's like, should I even give this? Should I pretend like, hey, I'm going to go get you something else after? So I'm like, all right. I pick up the box of lace-up boots, and I give her the gift, and I'm like, man, Michael Kors, though. She starts opening up the gift, and she's like, oh, babe. She's like jumping up and down. She's like, I love it. This is just what I wanted. Oh, thank you so much. And I'm like, yeah? Yeah, yeah, I meant it. Yes, yes. I was just messing with you, Michael Kors. Yes. But here's the thing, I won when I simply did what she asked me to do. I won when I simply gave her the thing that she was asking me for. Regardless of how I felt, regardless of Michael Kors, regardless of what I thought was gonna be the most pleasing to her, what was gonna get her attention the most, what it ended up being, the necessary thing was that I gave her what she asked of me. You see, in this story of Mary and Martha, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you know, you've been so distracted with doing these things, with all these things. And what he's trying to tell her is this. He's saying, you know, Martha, you're so busy doing for me. When Mary has chosen the needful thing, being with me. I'm just asking you to do one thing. You know, maybe you're hearing this and you were like me and it was like, man, I would like to be able to do that, but I can't. You see, I still gotta do enough so I can be enough. What Jesus was trying to show Martha, she was like, Martha, you can't do enough to be enough. You don't have to do enough to be enough, because I am enough. I want to share some scripture with you. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ephesians 2:16. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Everybody say gift. Now, the beautiful thing about a gift is you can't earn it. You can't earn a gift. If you have to earn a gift, it's not a gift. And what Jesus wanted Martha to see is like we see that text and it's like, Martha, Martha. We read it like, Martha, Martha, chill out, calm down. But you can see Jesus' heart for Martha. And see Jesus' heart for us. He's like, Martha, Martha, what you're doing, I'm just asking you to be. It's a gift, Martha. Sit down. It's a gift. You got to receive it. That's what makes it a gift. And so you can kind of see Martha, like, after realizing, you know, you just interrupted Jesus. You've missed it. It's okay. She sits back. But then, get this, in verse 42, it says, Mary has chosen the good portion. She's chosen the good part. She's chosen the needful thing. Martha sits back, and then she makes the choice to sit at the feet of Jesus. She makes the choice to do what he's asking her to do. I know for me, it was like, man, you know, I was at that point of like, I want God to speak to me. I want to hear his voice. I want to see him move. And I want to be able to ask him to do something and see him work in my life and work in my family and work in what I'm asking him to do. And so I had to do the same thing Martha did. What did Martha do? She just did what Jesus was asking her to do, sit at his feet. I had to do that for myself. Say, you know what? I'm not going to work to do enough so I can be enough because Christ is enough. I had to realize that Jesus, that my relationship with Jesus, that how I see God move in my life, how I see God work in my life, that it's not based on my present performance. It's based on Jesus' finished performance. It's based on what he already did. And so I simply just set myself, you know what? God, it's not a ritual with you. It's not, my relationship with you is not based on a time frame. I'm not just going to talk to you in the morning and check you off like a task. So even driving to work, God, thank you for waking me up this morning. But God, you know what I got to do today. You know what's in front of me. God, I ask you to show me. Help me see what I need to see. Help me know what I need to know. Going to lunch, God, it's not just, God, thank you for this food. It's like, God, am I missing something? God, is there something that you're trying to show me, but I'm not listening? Give me eyes to see it. Going home, God, I thank you for what you did. That situation, that project wouldn't have got done without you, and I thank you for guiding me through it. I started picking moments in my day. I started putting myself in a position to hear his voice. And that's what sitting at the feet of Jesus simply is. It's putting yourself in a position to hear his voice. It's choosing to do the thing that he's asked you to do. Now, for you, that may be different. For you, that may be, hey, in your time of devotion, don't just get up so quickly. Because you talk to me, I want to talk to you. And before you get out the car, hey, I want to show you this. I want to, you know, that coworker you've been dealing with, this is what you need to say to him. This is what you don't need to say to him. That project you've been, that's kept you up, that kept you from sleeping last night, hey, this is how I'm going to work it out. You see, when Martha sat down at the feet of Jesus, when she chose to sit down, I believe that Jesus was able to speak into her life. I believe that he was able to speak to some things that she had been in the kitchen worried about. Martha, don't worry about Mama Hamels. It's all good. But Martha, this thing you've been dealing with, I'm fixing it. Martha, this person you've been concerned about, I got you. And he was able to speak life into her and some things that she had been dealing with, things that have been burdening her, I believe that those things fell away when she made the choice to do the needful thing. You know, a lot of people are like, I want to hear God speak. I want to hear God. I want God to lead me. I want God to guide me. I want to know what God's plan is for me. But oftentimes, the direction that God is trying to give us can be found in the last thing that he told us to do. I've had conversations with some of my friends, and it's like, you know, what do you feel like God's telling you? And a lot of times, like, they may be having trouble hearing God give them direction, but it's not because he's not speaking. It's like, well, what do you feel like he's telling you? Just like, well, I could do this, but I don't know, you know? And that'd be the main thing that God be trying to get to him. He's like, look, that's God right there. He's trying to lead you to this place. That's the thing that he's asking you to do. Because God doesn't give us the whole picture. He gives us steps. And I'm so thankful for that, because for him to show some of us the whole picture, it would be so overwhelming. But he gives us steps. And taking those steps is obedience. Taking those steps allows us to receive what we never could if we're caught up in doing. I want to encourage you. It's like, man, we're closing out 2018. We're about to start 2019, which is going to be an amazing year full of grace and favor. So what if we took the time, though, instead of getting busy doing, because I know we have goals, I know we have things we want to do, trips we want to take and things like that, but what if instead of putting our priority on doing, we focused on being? We made the choice to sit at the feet of Jesus. We made the choice to do the one thing that God is asking us to do. The one thing that's been on our heart, but we're like, oh, I don't know. And some other stuff's got to line up first before we do that. And if we made the choice to do that, what would our life look like if we started every day at the feet of Jesus? What would our year look like? What would 2019 look like for you if you said, you know what? Forget everything else. I'm not working for this place of God to move in my life. I'm working from this place. I'm not living for this place of God to move in my life. I'm living from this place. I believe that this is what would happen. And I want to turn to one more scripture. I'm going to go ahead and ask the band to come out. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. And it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And it's like the same way Martha sat down at the feet of Jesus and Jesus was able to speak into her life. It's the same thing that happens for us when we sit, when we simply do the thing that God is asking us to do. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we are able to find rest. We're able to live from rest. We're able to find peace. We're able to find joy when we take that time and say, you know what? This is what matters most. Jesus is, I don't have to work for your presence, Jesus. I just have to come. I just have to choose to sit at your feet. And man, there's so much that he wants to do. It's like Jesus is saying, hey, right here is where that situation turns around. Hey, I care about them just as much as you do, and I want to see them come to me just like you do, but you got to be here first. I care about restoring that. I care about bringing that raise. I care about healing them. I care about putting this back together. I care about building your family back together. I care about that. But that starts right here. You just got to choose to take the step. You got to choose to sit at my feet. And that's not something anybody else can do for us. We got to do that for ourselves. Oh, but we find life, we find rest, we find peace, we find joy. We got to take that step. So what's Jesus asking you to do? What does that look like for you to sit at his feet? Maybe for you that's, hey, you know what? I'm going to be intentional in my time with God. I'm being intentional to listen to what he's trying to say. God, show me what I need to see. Help me hear what I need to hear. Help me say what I need to say. Or maybe for you, it's like, I don't know. I can't. Let me clean myself up first, then I'll come. But Jesus is like, no, just come. So I want to pray over you, but then I actually want to give you the opportunity to put what we talked about in action, because I want to see this year. I want to see your life be all that God's called it to be. So after I get done praying, we're going to give you time just to simply sit at the feet of Jesus. Simply, maybe it's reflecting on 2018. Maybe it's saying, hey, God, I know you're moving. Hey, God, show me what do I need to do? Like, what decisions do I need to make before 2019 starts? God, I'm choosing to start 2019 at your feet. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to repeat after me. Everyone say, dear God, I know you love me. You sent Jesus to die for me. He paid the price. He finished the work. And I choose to receive that gift. And I choose to live from that place and not for that place. You are pleased with me. You are pleased with me. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to encourage you, you can sit, you can stand, whatever you need to do to put yourself in a position to hear what God has to say to you during this time. It's so easy to rush, it's so easy to move, but I guarantee you the most necessary thing, the needful thing, is to do what we're about to do, and that's sit at the feet of Jesus.